There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Wisconsin, or wherever you happen to be watching. I'm sitting in Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, sitting in for Rob Pugh again tonight. Honored to be able to do that. And, you know, I do a little bit of a different, I do a show every day, 5 days a week at CoachDaveLive.com. And Rob's been a great friend, great supporter, and just appreciate everything he does. And every time he has something going on, he gives me a call, say, hey, Coach, can you sit in for me today? And I'd say, sure. And most of you know, ones who kind of follow what we do here at Coach Dave Live, know I'm a cultural warrior, right? Something's wrong. Daggone it, who's going to fix it? And the scripture says in John that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Where the hell's God's men? Pardon the hell. But it is hell, right? Where are God's people? That's the theme of what we do here at Coach Dave Live. But, I just had a prompting this week as Rob gave me the opportunity. I see J.R. Harrison's in there. Another guy I could have on. Just kind of how I got to be who the heck I am, whatever that is, whatever it is. Because I don't care who you are. I don't care what business you're in. In fact, a marriage is supposed to be, the wife's supposed to be your good right-hand man, isn't it? Or you as the husband, you're supposed to be the good right hand to your wife. The Bible says that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So you, your wife, and the Lord. You, your buddy, and the Lord. And football coaching is, which is what I was for so long. Yeah, Mel, a helper, help hand. Football coaching is a little bit different because most of you go to a football game. You pick the team. You pick the Ohio State Buckeyes, and you think of Ryan Day, or you think of Jim Tressel. You think of some professional team. You think of Vince Lombardi. It doesn't matter. You always think of the head coach, and that's partially one of the problems that we have, in my opinion, in our churches. We have head coaches. But the head coaches are a little bit different in our churches because they run all the plays, right? It's a constant theme that I have here at Coach Dave Live. Get in the game, man. Hey, pastor, coach us here a little bit, will you? Show me how to play. Show me what I'm supposed to do. Help me make a difference for what's going on. I see what's happening in our schools. I see what's happening in our communities. Hey, come on. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth here. Coach me up here. Coach me up here. And I guess that's kind of a constant theme, but the reality of it in my life, my wife's coaching us up right here. She snuck into our studio. She's saying, he can't get closer to me, can he? So here we are. We're going to do the best we can here. Because thank God my wife supports me most of the time. But thank God behind every.
Now you need to go that way.
Oh, Michelle, quit coaching us. Get out of here. I love my wife. I love her. Coach Norm Emmett says, I cannot even, Norm and I, yesterday we went to a funeral of a guy who used to coach with us, in London, Ohio years ago. I left London in the year 2000. That's 25 years ago. Ran me out of town year 2000. And one of our assistant coaches, we went to his funeral yesterday and just began to think, how long is this guy going to be around? How long am I going to be around? And nobody can understand the intricacies, the bond, whatever it is, that a football coaching staff develops. And even though you know Ryan Day, you know who the coach of the head coach is, the assistant coaches really for the most part are the ones who really are pulling the weight. And as I said earlier, the Bible says that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And Coach Norm and I go back to our beer drinking days. Yeah, I was one of those guys. Coach Norm was one of those guys.
Yes.
Wild and crazy guy coaching.
White Castle.
Yes, sir.
Route 161, I think.
So I found the Lord in 1978 on my wife's birthday. And it did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent, turned me into a brand new creature. And through a series of events, I ended up in London, Ohio. That's a whole story. You guys don't really care about that. You don't need to know it. But when I show up in London, Ohio, who's there? Already teaching school, my team teacher. They hired me as a special education teacher, and we taught what we called the moron pen. I mean, they were just unruly.
A lot of great stories.
I mean, these guys were delinquents. And Coach Norm and I were lion tamers. But it was amazing that we were team teachers. And the first year I went in back to London, when Norm had been the head coach at London previously to this, folks, stay with us. This is going to be good, okay? He'd been the head coach previous to me. There'd been a one before me, but Norm had been the head coach at London High School. And I come in there, and we go back to our beer drinking days and common friends that we had. And we were team teachers. And after doing a team teaching for a year, he was right on the other side of the wall. I knock on the wall. His kids are out of line. My kids are out of line. And we had just a wonderful bond. We'd always been good buddies, but Norm was there, and he'd coached at Capital University, and he wasn't doing anything. And in my mind, I could mark the day when, after the season was over, first season there in London High School, when we went 2-8, I think it was. Norm came over because we reestablished that relationship. He came over and he says, "Hey, Coach, I think I'd like to coach again," meaning, "I want to coach with you." Now, I don't know if you understand, friends, how hard that is for a guy who had been the head coach, and whether he'd been successful or not, wasn't the head coach anymore. And we all tend to be petty. And so the number one thing you would expect Norm would want was for me to fail. Right? He would want for me to fail so he wouldn't look so bad. And when he was there, but that wasn't the relationship. And my life changed that day when Norm Emmetts came over and said, "Hey, I think I'd like to start coaching again." And we built a machine, baby. We built a machine. But the reason I wanted to have Coach Norm on here today is because it's much, much deeper than that. And I want to encourage a lot of you out there that the devil loves the lone wolf. And if you think that you're going to go anywhere and you're going to get anything done by yourself, good luck. Because that just isn't the way it works. And over our time together there at London, I don't know how many years it was, Coach, 7, 8 years, whatever, however.
10.
10 years together. His son and my son, same class. Norm's son, Jake, was center. My son, Zach, was the quarterback. We went through all that hell in London when they fired me and brought the ACLU in and yada, yada, yada. And unbelievable. So I wanted Norm to come on to just hear a different side of this thing that we've become here, whatever this is. And here we are 20 some years later, and we're still best of buddies, and our families are best of buddies. And those deep, deep relationships, they really matter. And I would just say to you out there, friends, as much as you go to church and you have friends at church, small groups and all that, if you can find one guy that you know has got your back, and you've got his. Quarter two, as I said, three strands is not easily broken. And I'm going to tell us, I'm going to try to do this without crying here, Coach. As many of you know out there, our son years ago, and I'm not trying to embarrass my son, was hit with a pornography charge off of the internet. Everything to do to ruin his life. He's an attorney by now, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Overcomer. I ought to do a show on mm-hmm. on that, climbing out of that mess, mm-hmm. being an overcomer. And when they came and when they arrested him on that day, I was with him, my son. I went to the sheriff's office with him. And when they cuffed him, if I'd had a gun, I'd have killed somebody. I'm telling you, I'd have killed somebody for watching. They put the porn on there, and then you watch it, and then you go to jail because you watch the porn. But I watched him cuff him and take him out, and I went home, and I called. First guy I called was Norm. I said, "Hey, Norm, here's what just happened, yada, yada, yada." And he was really kind of, the reaction was kind of funny. I expected him to say something or do something, and he just kind of was distant. I hung up, thought, well, that was kind of odd. And 40 minutes later, I'm sitting in my house and looking at my world blowing up around me, seemingly. And there's a knock on my door, and who is it? Him. Him. I'll never forget that. So our families are still great, great friends today. Great bond between us. But I just want to bring Norm on, one of the guys who's kind of, I see Roger Weaver's in here looking now. One of the guys, one of the unspoken guys. Well, it's just one of his assistant coaches. That's just Coach Norm, one of his assistant coaches. And people don't understand the bond of a coaching staff and a right-hand man and the importance of it. So I'm going to shut up a minute, and I'm going to let Norm come in and say whatever the heck he wants to say, and then we'll tell some stories. Hey, friends. I'm going to lean forward here. Do you have a best buddy? You have a best buddy? You got to find someone. You got to find one that you know will go through the good times and the bad times with you. And when things are bad, they're not going to come and run and hide and be judgmental and distance themselves from you. When we went through our mess, he stood closer than he had been before. And I tell everybody, when you open up the dictionary and you look up the word loyal, maybe you could try this, producer, look up loyal. You don't have to. His picture's there. We could use a little bit of that, couldn't we? Go ahead, Norm. What do you got to say, man?
Coach, thank you.
I didn't mean to take 13.
Thank you for that introduction. Thank you for that introduction. Is Brett still on here, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still here.
Brett, I'm at St. John's Arena, 1975, 76. I'm at Woody's Clinic, and I'll never forget this. Coming from New Jersey, I coached there 4 years. And I'm sitting there in the
front. Norm is a great head coach in his own right. Go ahead, coach.
I'm sitting in the front row, and the first thing he said, you got to be loyal. That's what my number one thing is. Woody Hayes said, loyalty is the biggest thing for me. I said, and yeah, I was a pretty loyal guy in New Jersey, too, but that hit me. And then coach just saying that. I think as I'm sitting here thinking and looking
in our million-dollar studio here, yeah, by the way. Yeah.
And I'm looking at the faces here, and then there's people I don't know, and a lot of you have heard the story, but I'm going to try to condense it for you a little bit. And I see, like when I see the pictures of you, David, I'm looking at you. I see me. Betty. You and Betty. Betty, I'm sorry, you and me. Roger, you and me. Where'd Harrison go? You and me, Brett, you and me. That, you guys are me. I'm sitting here, you are me. And so back in that day, when I came back to London to coach, and that was coming from Capital, and I hooked up with coach the first day of practice. You've heard this story again, but the people that are listening for the first time, lock in with me. The people that are, everybody lock in, but the people that are listening to this for the first time, lock in. And we go out on that field, and it's the first day of practice, 1990. And we come off that field, and I said to myself, this guy's got something. It's something new. This ain't the Dave I knew. We'd run into meetings and different things in football. But whatever. Yeah. This isn't the same guy, and he had something. And I said, wow, I'll never forget. He pulled out a Bible in the room there and went over something. And the thing that struck me, and he and he told the coaches there, and that was, I think it's Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2, is renewing your mind. And he talked about renewing your mind and body. And for me, the body came later. But the renewal of the mind started that day in 1990. I was fortunate enough to go along with him to Promise Keepers in 1991, 92, 93, whatever. And at the Detroit Stadium, it was either 92 or 93, I had my oldest boy with me. And you heard the story again, the people that know me. I walked from the last row of the Detroit Silver Dome to the stage with my son, and the pastors prayed over us, and I felt a whoosh come through me. Now, I didn't turn that overnight like that, but I felt something that I never felt before, because before I was in a Lutheran church with my wife, and I would stand in the back row and look out the window on Main Street in Hilliard while the guy was preaching and my kids were there.
Just wanted to get out of there.
And no, I mean, I just wasn't focused on anything. And that was the day, Promise Keepers. And then I grew in our church. I grew, you know, I became members of the council and all that through all the next number of years. But that's how it all started. And since that time it started, it really got interesting, because I met Roger from the time we were sued in 1997. I met Roger. Coach said, we got to find somebody. I flipped through that phone book, the old yellow thing. I said, here's a guy who's a Christian lawyer.
Found him in the yellow pages.
And there's a story behind him. We coached his kids. We've known him for 26 years or more. And it's just been unbelievable, him sitting there. And that brings me back, and I'm going to tell everybody that don't know, okay, the people that are listening, when Coach got sued in 1997.
99.
Somewhere in there.
They threatened in 97. They did it in 99. Go ahead.
I got sued because I knew him. Oh, come on now. Hey, that's something. And as I worked with him and we went through that and I saw how they destroyed or tried to destroy his family, I could tell you stories. I could still tell you stories that your ears would fall off.
Unbelievable.
I'd go to his house and Shell would be in the corner in the bedroom crying and saying, why are they doing this today? And I'd have to talk to her. And then as I got going, then I started meeting some people. Man, I went up to a place on High Street, the abortion clinic.
Yeah.
And actually, I started with, what's his name? The Vietnam vet River over on the west side with Harrington. This guy, Mark Harrington, you guys know who he is. I was over there with him with my legs shaking. Then I went to the abortion clinic for two and a half years at least. And then I'd be at the other abortion clinic. And we were doing all of these things. And I'm just looking at myself. I'm saying, holy moly. And then we're down here doing this. We're in Washington. And, of course, I'm a little bit older than most of you guys here at 77 years old. And as I look back at that, that day he pulled out the Bible and talked about renewing your mind, I was 43 years old. I am 77 years old. The last 34 years of my life and working with the Lord and working with the people have been unbelievable. I can't even begin to tell you that. James Harrison, I just see him pulled up. How about that corner over on Columbus there? Remember that corner we were out there? I can't remember that store. Yeah. Betty, how many times I've been with you? Brett, I tell a story of Brett. I'm going to bring this up and I'm just going to bring it up. Brett's over at Pastor Gill's house one day, and I can't remember what year it was ever. And we're in there, and the guy from heaven, what's his name, was preaching that night at Tom's Appeal to Heaven.
John Diamond.
And he's out there, and he's talking there, and I go like this to Brett. I said, hey, Brett, you know, I'm a little tired of all this. Every time we're speaking, nothing, you know, boom, bang, boom. And I may be wrong, and I'm going to ask the Lord when I get there, I believe I had a little influence on Brett to see what he's done with his life since then. And Betty and Ray, okay? And JR and every one of them on the show. It just, and the people that aren't on the show anymore and what they did.
Folks, your life is about how many people can you influence?
Now we're talking about it. Now we're talking about that. We talked about that yesterday. And the other scripture I like is the fruit. I talked about that at the funeral home. And I believe when you go to heaven and you get there, you can sit down and talk about your fruit. Because we always say, hey, maybe Paul's around the campfire, somebody there. You got to talk about your fruit. You never know your fruit, but you got to work at it and work at it. Hey. And as I look at the people here, there is so much fruit here. Amen. There is so much fruit. David Arthur, Betty again, Ohio Brett, Ray, everybody, Roger Weaver, J.R. Harrison. That's only 10 guys out of 1,000 where you've made a difference. Where you've made a difference in someone else. So he's made a difference in my life with my family. He's made a difference with you. Now you got to carry that football. You got to go someplace with it. And I've tried to stay there. I've tried to stay there with Coach as much as I can. And I'm back in the school taking attendance and all that. But the Lord gave me a vision over a year ago to bring Jesus Christ into Groveport High School. Jesus had never been in that school. And we did. We tried. They said they couldn't. We tried. They said they couldn't. I knew we could. I knew we could. Yeah. And we got in there, and that thing's thriving now. So what I'm trying to tell you is it can happen at 43 years old, okay? And you can get going and really reach to the Lord and just reach out. And the last 34 years of my life, and I've had earlier winning championships and playoffs and all that, the last 34 years of my life has been something that I will remember to my dying day, to my dying day. And each and everybody that's looking at me, or even if you know me and you're not looking at me, you've been there with Coach. And that's what loyalty is, to the end, to the end, to the end, to the end. Loyalty, whether it's up, whether it's down. We all have ups and downs. My life and my kids are ups and downs. But loyalty is that. And it would, I'd be over in a heartbeat again. But here's the funny thing. David, if you need me, I'll help you. Brett, I'll help you. JR, I'll help you. Okay, because we're all a team. We're all a team. And Ray, I'd help you too, because I've seen you in action. I've seen you play. Brett, I've seen you play. Betty, I've seen you play. All you guys, you talk about a team and a coach. I've seen you play. I like what you do.
Pull up Romans 12. Yeah. Pull up Romans 12.
Lately, I did my body, too, so hey, that
folks,
helped me out.
Sometimes when I was coaching, I just got out of the way. Can you feel that yet? I just got out of the way, right? Because why? Because, again, it's a body. Football team was a body. It was a body. The head, torso, it was a body. And we get into trouble when we think that we have to run the whole show, that I got to be the drummer in the band and the singer in the band and the guitar player in the band and the sound guy, when you got to do it all. And if you want to be successful, I don't care what it is, find good people and delegate. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one, not a dead sacrifice, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is, that's the least you can do. You're on the team. It's the least you can do. It's your reasonable service. Amen. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Oh, what do you think? Huh? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, one of the hardest things for me, and I still struggle with it, I look at football teams and I think, damn, I could turn that one into a winner. I could turn that one into a winner. Boy, I could turn that one into a winner. What you just said, Coach, and it's so important. I hope you all understand it. It isn't about me. They give all the credit to Woody Hayes. It ain't about Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes was smart enough to get the ball to the guys who could carry it. He was smart enough to get the right tackle in the right spot. He was smart enough to put people around him who were loyal. He was smart enough to understand that it wasn't about
him that he was, what do they say? He was the director of the band, but his job wasn't just to direct the band. He couldn't play the trumpet and the trombone and the clarinet and the, he couldn't do it all. And then what we have going on in our churches, I hate to go there, is we got a guy who plays every instrument, doesn't let anybody else play any instruments, never trains and equips them for the work of the ministry. And Norm won't say this, I will. Since we separated, I mean, he's still coaching. He's, how old are you?
77.
77 years old, still coaching. He's making more of a Christian impact now than at any time in his life. True, Norm?
True. I said the last 34 years has been the most eventful part of my life. It has been, by far. And it's going to continue, too.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. So I guess why are you here? Let me back up. I'll get you in here, David, because we do want to hear from you. By the way, folks, I've loaded this with some of my loyal folks in here. They're in here listening today. I do a live give and take show, actual talk show where what you say matters. And I hear what you have to say. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever go to your church and think, you know, it don't matter what I say? This place goes, as long as I give my tithes and sit there and shut up, everything will be okay. And you look around, the world all around you is blowing up. And the thing I'm most proud of, I guess I'm proud of a lot of things, is I'm looking here. I put a lot of guys in the game. Mm. I remember when J.R. Harrison sitting there right there. I did a show on Saturday mornings in Columbus, Ohio. After I left London, I started a radio show. I went and bought time on the local radio show. And J.R. showed up out of nowhere.
How about him with the Minutemen? That was at the beginning, too.
That's right. And he came and he faithfully sat there and he came as he was my right hand man, my left hand man. And now what? Now he's doing his own thing, right? So the idea, see, if you're really a good leader, are you looking at me, folks? You duplicate yourself, you replicate yourself. I don't have time to go coach every position. I got to coach another guy to coach the centers and the guards. I got to coach another guy to get the tackles and the tight. I can't do it all.
I was at a funeral, close friend in New Jersey 2 years ago. And Jimmy was a friend since his whole family were friends with Barb's friends and whatever. And he became an all-state shortstop in Bergenfield, and then he became an All-American shortstop for Montclair, and they went down and won the College World Series at Marietta. And if you know anything about Marietta, they're always great. And then he came out, he went back to Bergenfield, he became a teacher, he became the principal, and then he developed cancer. And Barb and I drove out, and I'm telling you, in New Jersey, there were 600-700 people lined up around the block of that place. And we got in there, and then when we went to the funeral the next day, I'll never forget what the priest said. This priest knew him. He was retired. And it really sticks with me, and I've talked to the kids at Groveport when I was coaching there about it. He leaned over, and he said, the best thing you could do for Jimmy and his family is to try to reduplicate him.
Mm.
Okay. Now, maybe we can't all reduplicate him 100%, but we certainly can try and try to reduplicate what that person is made of, what he does, kids, whatever that guy does. You can certainly try to reduplicate him. And I think that's a treasure quote at the end of a funeral like that with hundreds and hundreds of people. And so that stayed with me. Try to reduplicate someone. And don't worry if you don't get to 100%.
I'll get you in here, David. I want to hear from some of you guys. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you, folks. Because when, first of all, Coach Norm would tell you, Roger Weaver, who was my attorney, would tell you, I never hit the gospel. When I was coaching football with those high school kids, they knew what they got. They knew I was a Christian. Everybody knew I was a Christian. The superintendent knew it. The school board members, everybody knew it. I wasn't some secret service agent. I was a Christian coach. They all knew it. And so when the whole thing broke loose in London over praying with our team, they invited the ACLU in. Folks, are you looking at me?
It wasn't about prayer. It was about who got to be quarterback. That's all. At the end of the day, it was just about who got to be quarterback. And then he called in the American Civil Liberties Union, and all hell broke loose for my God-given right to be able to pray and the Christian parents in that community, their right for their son to be under a Christian environment. But you know what? One of the saddest thing that was when they had the lynch party, remember that, Coach, when we showed up
that I had that rope.
When we showed up at that lynching party that night, are you ready, folks? The meeting was held in the sanctuary of the Methodist Church.
Hmm. Wow.
True or false?
That's true.
We pulled. They're getting this group together to fire me for whatever. Well, because who got to be quarterback? Okay, and there they are in the Methodist Church, crucifying a coach for praying. You can't make it up. You can't make it up. But I want to say this because this is always stuck in my crawl. And then I'd like to open up. Norm's got all kinds of stuff. Hey, folks. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm a truth teller. The pastors ran and hid. They didn't want to get involved. You know why that is? Because not everybody likes the coach. And if your kid isn't playing, it's obviously the coach's fault. So the pastors, they're trying to take prayer off of the field, and the pastors won't speak up because somebody in their congregation has a son who's third team. He's just a lazy fat ass. Sorry, he's third team. And so they want to blame the coach. And so pastors didn't want to get involved because I was controversial. Now I said this, Coach, wouldn't you thought the pastors, who by the way, in most towns don't even know each other, they're competition. Wouldn't you thought the pastors would have, four or five of them together, would have gotten me into a room and said, Coach, tell us what's going on here. We want to support you. We're not going to let them take prayer off of that field. Tell us what's going on. Nope, not a thing. So I don't know if you guys listen to me often. I have kind of maybe a kink in my shoulder against the pastor and coach. Mm-hmm. I think it's rightfully so. I think rightfully so. And I fight really hard sometimes not to let that come out. Say something
got,
else. And I'm
yeah, I got three points. Hopefully I don't forget the 3 points here.
Hang on. Will you stand up for a coach in your town if he's under the same situation? Will you guys? Rather than say, we'll pray for you, will you stand up for him? Nobody stood up for me. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, I had three things, but I forgot. I'm getting old. But one of the things, just this isn't funny, but it is. We're going to that meeting that night. We found out they were having that meeting. We went to that church, and the local barber saw us. He saw three of us.
He cut my hair. He was my hair barber. He was.
Three of us were pulling up to the church, and that guy made an exit.
He made a U-turn.
And went the other way.
Otherwise, he was going to be in there as well. I changed barbers after that, by the way. I did. I'm sorry. We kind of rambled.
Yeah.
I hope you understand what's going on. The importance, number one, of loyalty. Huh? Of loyalty.
And number two is what you're going to do with it. Once you get there, and once you do, what you're going to do with that, what you learn. You know what I'm saying?
Coach,
when you find the Lord, when you're born again, what are you going to do with it after that? Okay? No more looking out the windows and none of that stuff. It's what you do with it. And, hey, we're preaching to the choir here, right here. All these faces and even people that are here, we're preaching to the choir. So what I'm telling you is I'm 77. You guys are a lot younger than me, and you got a long way to go, and just stay with it. Stay with it. Be loyal to your friends. Be loyal to your team, and you're going to do great things. So that's my hope and my prayer is that everybody on here tonight stays with it for another 30, 40 years.
Amen.
Right to the end.
Okay.
Right to the end.
I got one more story thing about open it up. So we had this one football player. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to embarrass him. Wasn't his fault. He was obese, unbelievably obese. He couldn't run laps. He couldn't do whatever. He was just poor. He was just a slob. Poor kid. 15 years old,
freshman, 16.
Yeah. And he didn't come to practice during two-a-days. And he didn't come to practice the next day. So Norm and I did what the scripture tells us you're supposed to do.
the shepherd goes after the lost sheep. So Norm and I got in the car and we drove over to his house. We knocked on his door. We went and sat in the living room and said, come on, what? Come on, man. His dad's sitting right there. Remember that, Coach?
Oh,
his
dad's
sitting right there. We're encouraging him. Come on, man. We know it's hard. You know, it's, you know, it's good for you, man. Come on. Come and be part of it. And, you know, folks, the night that they we met at the Lutheran Church.
Methodist
Church. I'm sorry. That young man's father stood up and said that we showed up, me and my henchman.
You call me a henchman.
Showed up at his son's house rather than being pleased. We tried to rescue his son from a life of obesity. He called us henchmen.
I was proud that he called me that, just like I was proud of getting sued. But what's crazy that player, when we were sitting talking to his dad, he took off and he came back with a big bowl of popcorn and that. But that story, the story to that ending is something Coach will share with you someday. The ending to that story is unbelievable. And it's a plus.
Let me tell you another, and then I'm going to let David come in here. You don't mind hearing old war stories, do you? We had this. We had a good kid. I won't say his name either. I don't want to embarrass him.
Although
he wouldn't care. He was late to practice every friggin' day. And he was good. He was a good player, but he was lazy and late. And I told him, don't you be late. During 2-a-days, don't you be late one more time. Don't you be late one more time. Next morning, what do you suppose happens?
He's late.
So we go through practice. And after practice is over, I said, listen, I'm going to be at your house tomorrow morning at 5:30. And I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to drive you outside of town. And I'm going to drop you off. And you're going to run in. And if you make it by the time practice starts, you're going to be on the team. And if you don't, you're not on the team anymore. And I'm thinking, I'm should I do it? And I called Norm. Should I do it? Coach, I already laid down the line. Should I do it? Coach says, Coach, you got to do it, man. You got to do it. So he and I, Coach E and I, show up.
No, I wasn't with you, was I?
Yeah.
Wasn't Collier with you?
Oh, my
God. It was Collier, wasn't me? Not that I wouldn't be in there, but I couldn't fit in there. He was a big guy, man.
So I pulled in the next morning, early morning. He's a black kid. Nothing mattered. And it was raining. Oh, my God, it was raining so hard. And I said, Mark, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's raining. He said, Coach, I think Andre's ass is going to get wet. And we picked him up, and we drove him about 5 miles outside of town, pouring down rain, dropped him off.
Had the sailor hat on.
He had a wetsuit on.
And a white.
I said, Andre, if you make it in on time, you can stay on the team. Otherwise, just going home. And we're walking out on the field, coming out of the locker room, and I'm all nervous, thinking, did he get run over by a car? My career's over here. What's going on? And we looked down the driveway of the high school. And there came Andre running down the driveway.
We were playing the sixth game of that year. We had a great team. It finished 8-2, won the league. And Andre, he just ate the guy up, an All-State defensive tackle from Columbus Academy, and he just ate him up every which way. And that just think about that with you guys, what you have done. I mean, it's just a simple story of what it okay. I'm just overwhelmed by it.
Okay, let me finish it up, okay?
Yeah.
So I come out of the locker room, and I'm worried whether Andre is going to make it or not. And all the players are out there. They're putting their shoes on, getting their cool ass. And I look down the school driveway, and come around the corner comes Andre jogging down there.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have seen the team mm-hmm. run towards him.
Mm.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
He was never late again.
At least not to football.
Yep. I kept my job over that one. I don't know how, but he was never late again. All right.
Let's go.
David Arth, come on in, Dave. Hey, David, you needed coach Norm as a coach, David. That's what you needed. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. And you know what you're talking about? Like, you're talking about intimacy, right? And you're talking about true intimacy. And so when you were first telling your story, I was the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me something. He said, among men of God, integrity is the quiet foundation upon which every true bond is built. The unspoken vow to walk in truth, even when no one is watching. In the sacred space of brotherhood, hearts that have been refined by faith find rare intimacy, the freedom to confess weakness without fear, to bear one another's burdens without judgment, and to stand shoulder to shoulder as living witnesses that love, honesty, and loyalty can still flourish in a broken world.
Wow.
These are the types of bonds that are rooted in integrity. They're watered by grace. They become a living testimony that the deepest friendships are those that are forged not merely in shared belief, but in the daily choice to remain pure, steadfast, true, and loyal to one another. No. That's what you described.
Thank you, David.
It's a long, long road with many a winding turn.
Amen.
That leads me to who knows where. Who knows where? You know that song, right? He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And if we would all just take that attitude, get rid of the competition and criticizing one another. Hey, dude, his marriage is a mess. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. That's my brother. He ain't heavy. And sometimes we just sit back and watch all that stuff fall apart because why? We don't want to get involved. Norm, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. When that happened with our son, he ain't heavy. My brother showed up. My brother showed up. He didn't have to. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And the brotherhood of the saints, the fellowship of the saints, the works of the ministry. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Come on in, Brett.
Well, what an honor it is to be in the locker room with this team. And for all those you watching in Wisconsin, whether it's Wisconsin, Ohio, Florida, Texas, or heaven forbid that state up north, this precious locker room, I look around and I see David and Betty and Clay Parker and Roger and JR. Those are my brothers and sisters.
There you go.
And we have to go through summer conditioning, winter conditioning. And yes, if we get the honor of making it through two-a-days and we do get playing time, we also have those guys that never see the field, but they're our brothers. Mm-hmm. And the cheerleaders love those players with the dirty uniforms. Amen, but I'll tell you right now, we do it for the players, our brothers, but we love our coaches. Those coaches try to teach the players the right thing to do so when they get older, they'll know what to do. And we will run through a freaking brick wall.
Amen.
For our assistant coaches, for our head coach. And you better believe we'll stand with them when we're 4-6 or 8-2. Because right now, one of the great things about two-a-days all over America, everybody's undefeated. Hope Amen. Is eternal right now, baby. So, Amen. Coach Dave, you know how much I love you. From Amen. That very first day that we were doing something with the bread man, and we were like helping wow. load up something, and the guy said, hey, you're the football guy. That's Coach Dave. That's wow. the football guy. So I, of course, ran over, introduced myself. And then I started running with Coach Dave ever since. And Coach Norm, I'll never forget you putting your finger in my chest because you and Coach Dave really helped me and this locker room kind of just say, you know what? What the heck? Why not me? Let's wow. go to all 50 states 3 years in a row with a little overtime because of this team. I'll forever be on both your coaching trees.
Amen. Amen, Brett. Hey, folks, we're supposed to make disciples. Make disciples.
That's right.
You know that in the, excuse me, in the middle of the word disciple is discipline. You understand that? You create little yous, little yous. That's what you try to create as you go by being a mentor, being whatever. Jesus had 12 disciples. And I think I've told this story before. Pardon me if I had it. Still, it's a good story. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, if we read about the Sermon on the Mount, we all think that Jesus went up on a high mountain and got a megaphone and preached to all the big crowd that had gathered. But if you go back and read that in it's Matthew 8, maybe I don't know exactly where it is right now, doesn't matter. If you read it closely, you're going to find out that Jesus saw the multitudes, saw the crowds. Because, mm-hmm. folks, Boy, it's easy to do it for the applause of men. Let me tell you something. And Jesus saw the crowds. And what did he do? He went higher up on the mountain. And then his team came to him. Read it. It's Matthew 5, maybe. He went up to the mountain. Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, not to all those wannabes. He gave it to his 12. We know what that is, right? He told him, you are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its savor. He says, go ye down that hill into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And by the way, you're going to be hated of all men.
Amen.
That's what Amen. He said. That's what he said. This is good. Betty, come on in.
Well, I admire both of you. I love you both. And the stories and the memories you guys talk about, I could let you talk all day long. I could just sit back here and just listen to you both. I have so much respect for you. And to find a friendship like you guys have, you two gentlemen, I tell you, is very rare. It's genuine and it's priceless. And you guys just go on and keeping making memories. And you know, you have created warriors in your group.
You're playing, aren't you, Betty? You're playing now. You're out playing.
And I really appreciate you because I've really found some true brothers and sisters who we are like-minded. And I can call them up and I have someone, you know, watching my back. So I want to thank you. I love you both. And yeah. God bless you.
Hey, Betty, I remember years ago, because the years keep going. And I look at you and I listen to you every day on that show. And we were over in a house in Newark. It might have been Mike's house. And that's really when I first, if I remember right, bumped into her a little bit. Is that right, Betty? And then
yes,
since that day and being with everybody in this show and with all your brothers and sisters and to see where you have come, you're a little Norm. You're a little Norm. But you got a lot more years to go, so that's keep right. on it,
We
Betty.
Got you in the game.
Keep on it,
We got you in the game, Betty. We got you in the game. Now your job's get somebody else in the game.
We love you.
Get in the game. Yeah. Get in the game. Get in the game. Whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I would tell you this. When I met Coach Norm, I was born again. Mm-hmm. He didn't know me. He knew me before. I was Budweiser again before that, if you know what I'm talking about, right? And I got born again, and I became a brand new creature, and he didn't know what to do with it because I was his drinking buddy. We went to White Castle.
I figured it out, though.
He figured it out.
I wanted some of it.
And come on, hey, you have any idea how many lives he's impacted with the gospel of the kingdom? You have any idea? Because why? He got it from me, and I got it from somebody else, and this is the way it's supposed to work. Deja, come on in.
Oh, sorry, my microphone wasn't on. So, Coach, I want to just tell you that the most impactful thing you've ever said was hit somebody.
Yes.
Those words never resonated so true.
Yep.
You know, when you don't know what to do, just hit somebody.
Hit somebody.
Yep. But I love it. I love it.
Because, Deja, here's the truth, and Norm could say this. For those of you, he was a line coach, right? And he's a defense coordinator. He's a line coach. And a lot of times, the guys wouldn't know who to block because the defensive front, they would move around. They'd line up differently. And what was it we told him? Hit somebody, right?
Hit somebody.
Every kickoff, we used to yell, hit somebody.
Hit somebody.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, hit the wrong guy. Hit somebody. Amen, Deja. God bless you.
I love
it. Thank you, dear. Bo Schimbecker, come on in. Schimbecklet.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good afternoon, guys.
I know that voice.
I had to pull some strings to get in here. Hey, anyways, what I appreciate about you, Coach, and Norm, is your confidence and your courage. And you talked about trust. And what I've never seen in the people on this team is I've never seen that spirit of arrogance. And I appreciate that so much, but that confidence and courage is contagious.
Amen.
And it's encouraged me. And I know when I finally joined the team and Coach found out I was from Michigan, he scratched his head and wondered, does anything good come out of Michigan? But we're trying to prove him wrong.
Yeah, we want you to be the second best team in America. That's
anyways, I appreciate you, Norm. You look great. And, thanks so much for your encouragement and support.
Thank you very much for that. And I would add on too, that's two great C words there. The thing that resonates with me all the time is to figure out what is true. And this book right here will tell you what is true, and especially nowadays and whatever else. The truth is in this Bible here. And that's where you live.
Folks, I'll get you right here. I promise you, Clay. I'll get you in a second. I want to tell you the story because Norma just came to me. When we got really, really good, and we were really, really good. We got really good, really good. The bond that we had for one another in that team, Christ-centered bond, it was a powerful thing. But people would notice it that during the course of a football game, you guys, if you go to a football game and you're watching it, as the team moves down the field, the guys on the sidelines kind of move with it. Not for us. It was a freaking beehive. And they just moved as a mass. The unity that you would watch of the guys, not on the field, the guys on the sidelines in the uniforms, that mass of huddle that would move down as we would move in the ball. They would all be part of it. And you know what? People were afraid of that more than anything.
Mm.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were afraid of the power of unity. Unity, biblical unity. Oh, if the church could ever get that, if we could ever get the Methodists cheering for the Baptists and the Baptists cheering for the Lutherans and the Lutherans praying for, cheering for the Church of Godders and the Church of Godders praying for the Catholics. If we could all quit worrying about how great our own team is and try to help to encourage and strengthen our brother's team, we wouldn't be in this mess what we're in. True. Come on in, Clay.
Hey, gang. I tell you, y'all are some awesome coaches, and I want to let you know how much encouragement, y'all are full of encouragement, and Amen. You know how to encourage people, and that counts for so much, and I just can't think of any time that I've been around either one of y'all to where you haven't encouraged me, and I appreciate it.
This guy, Clay, he comes out to Sky High the one year, I don't know how many years ago. And I think it was the first, second year he ever came. I can't remember. And I'm standing there. I still remember standing outside the garage there talking to him and talking about the general things with Coach. And he was trying to find out a little bit and all that. And the rest is history, Clay. It's amazing. You're just another guy called Norm, man.
That's
but
right.
What you've done right. is amazing in your life. And just keep it up, and you got plenty of years ahead of you.
Amen.
I just
Amen.
Want to let you know that, you know, when you had your knee issues and your knee surgeries and you were overweight, getting out of shape, a lot of men at that age, they could have let that beat them, and they could have went downhill from there.
Amen.
And you took a hold of the bull by the reins, you got by the horns, and you got control of it, and then you set a huge example for everybody. And just seeing you do that and get yourself in shape was even more encouragement. And I thank you for doing that. And I don't know if y'all mentioned this earlier in the show, but, you know, when we went on that Equal Justice tour and we went to Joe Biden's house, old Coach Norm, man, that was when his knees was giving him fits and all that. But he was out there with us. And he walked down that street, and his voice was louder than everybody else's. And he shook the ground when he started, you know, yelling. And he would say, "Remember Benghazi." Hey. I appreciate y'all.
Hey, appreciate you. You know, I've lost weight before, 40 here, 40 there, 50 there. But I couldn't do it without a Bible study of men praying over me and Jesus Christ, my Savior. He is the one that made the difference this last time of 100 pounds.
Amen. Okay, so thanks, Clay. Let me throw this out there, folks.
Look, love you all, team.
Love you.
Folks, I don't care who you're dealing with. Are you looking at me? People need encouraged. They need encouraged. Why are we so slow to encourage our brother, to compliment our brother, to say, "Hey, man, I notice what you're doing. Keep it up, man." That's what coaching is, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah.
But folks, look. I'm an English guy. I love language. Spencer, pull up the word courage. Courage. Good, Mr. Webster. I only got about 4 minutes left. Bear with me here. Courage. Webster. Courage.
bravery, intrepidity, the quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness, without fear or depression of spirits, valor, boldness, resolution. Now hang on. Hang on. What happens to the word courage if you put an E in front of it? Would you do that for me, Spencer? Mm. Put an E in front of courage. E in courage. To give courage to. They missed it, Norm. They missed it. When you encourage somebody, you put courage in them. You encourage them. They say, you know, I was about ready to quit. I was about ready to quit. But coach, when you called me, I got back in the game. Ask yourself this, folks. Look, to give courage, to give or increase confidence of success, to inspire courage, spirit, strength of mind, to embolden, to animate. Huh? Hey, folks, who are you encouraging? Who are you encouraging? Rather than sitting around and say, what happened to so-and-so? Did it ever dawn on you that he just needed a little bit of life blown into him? Needs a little bit of encouragement? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll eat a worm? Huh? Why is it so hard for us to pick up the phone, call somebody, say, hey, man, I appreciate you. Appreciate you, what you're doing. How can I help you do it?
Amen.
Send them an email.
Amen.
Do whatever. Encourage. Bible says to encourage yourself in the Lord. Mm-hmm. What? Put courage into. Encourage yourself. Coach, we got a couple minutes here.
I just add to that. Coach's sister, who I love dearly, sent me a card my first or second year there with Coach on the return. And she mentioned, she said, oh, thank you, Coach, so much in that. You're Barnabas. I said, oh, I got to look that guy up.
Ooh.
The encourager. And I sat down and read the scripture from that.
Norm is my Barnabas.
Just be a Barnabas to somebody. Be a Barnabas.
Come along, man. Encourage him. Help. Pick him up. Pick him up is what you can do. Ray LeBlanc and Clay. Then we'll finish up. Let's talk quickly here. Ray, we're about out of time. Are you there, Ray? Come on down, Ray. Clay, did you want to come in? Come on down. You're the next contestant. Nobody? Nobody? All right. Well,
Coach, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to be with you.
Friend who sticketh closer than
brother. And I just love being around you, and we'll be around till we both hopefully are up with the Lord there. But I just want to thank you for everything Amen. You've done in my life, my family,
Amen.
What you've done with these people. I want to thank all these people for being who they are, what they are, and I'm going to pray tonight before I go to bed that they continue this for the next 30 years or so. Every single one of them, that they continue to make a difference as disciples for Jesus Christ.
So folks, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. See, you're close to your brother because you got to be.
Hmm.
Right? Got the same mom and dad, live in the same house. And you would all admit this, right? That sometimes your brother isn't your closest confidant, is he? We would all inspire or conspire or expire. We should all desire to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother to a brother. Life's tough, man. Walking the straight and narrow path ain't easy. Hated of all men, judgmental, bigot. They call you all kinds of things. Mm. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Thanks for watching us. See you next week.